This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Friday, November 4th, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
We're the one.
The Deucers in the building. Heyo.
Thanks, guys. Good
and
stuff.
And we have a busy day.
There's a lot to talk about, including a surprisingly interesting football game. Jason.
Yes.
You were on this podcast earlier in the week proclaiming if you could get a team to keep up with the Eagles so they actually have to do something in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
You got your wish.
I didn't know it would be the Texans.
We didn't yet, but were you happy?
I was extremely unhappy, Mike. Extremely unhappy.
Careful what you wish for, everybody.
Apparently, I should not wish for that the single week that I am playing the person with A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert, who received all of the fruits from the basket of delicious treats that Jalen Hurts was handing out. So it was not a good game for me, for yours truly, but at least I also faced Damian Pierce and had the great Eagles defense that could not stop him. I'm fine.
Good stuff.
Everything's okay.
Everything is everything.
You can try.
Everything is good and fine.
Yeah, it's just, the NFL relentlessly reminds us that if you don't bring your best, anyone can beat anybody. And the Texans, they put up a fight, made it interesting.
I mean, they lost by 12.
Yeah, like through halftime, they had a good game going. Kind of fell apart there.
Yeah, and part of that was, that turnover, right? I mean, shortening the field, getting them that extra opportunity. And then, the game was over. And the Eagles remain undefeated. The Texans 1-6-1, and we move on. I mean, Damian Pierce is a legitimately great running back. It was one of those things you could see in preseason pretty quickly. You hoped. I think the only fear was like, okay, they're not as forcefully committed to him as somebody that drafts a running back in the first round would be. But at least your eyeballs said, okay, maybe the coach should trust this guy to carry the rock, relentlessly hard runner, played a difficult defense and looked great. And I mention him because moving forward, I think it's that trust where you can say, look, Damian Pierce can be part of the backbone of a team.
Absolutely. And he is matchup proof. The Texans have committed to him in a way. I mean, you're talking about 27 carries
in a loss
against a great defense in a loss. Even when you're trailing, they still gave him the ball, and he is their best chance at moving the ball. Like, I don't even blame them. You know, when you're the Falcons and you're doing that, and you're like, why? Okay, if you're down multiple scores and you've got Kyle Pitts and you've got this great outside rookie Drake London, like, you have weapons. But in this situation, their best chance to move the ball is Damian Pierce. So if you've got him, he is locked in as a top 10 running back rest of season.
Today's show, we're going to talk about some news and injury updates. We have the Fantasy Forecast Part 2, going through six more matchups, the Fantasy Face-Off, the Wheel of Shame, and it is Friday.
Foot Clan Friday.
I think I'm going to start a new tradition right here, right now.
Ooh.
It's Foot Clan Friday, which means that
tradition.
We have a weekly giveaway to a supporter at jointhefoot.com. And I am, look, I've been hoarding the ability to announce the winner, and I'm going to start distributing this to a producer each week. So
I see.
Do you see what I mean?
Well, this specific week is,
yeah,
it's an interesting,
unique
name.
Is the name more difficult to pronounce?
Yeah, for us poor dumb Americans, yes.
So the Borgogin is our editor in chief, so he seems like he should be trusted. $100 gift card,
master of linguistics.
$100 gift card to fantasychamps.com. Kyle, who is our winner this week?
The one, the only, Sadish Nadkarni.
Congratulations.
There it is.
Well done. How did that feel? You just gave somebody a wonderful prize.
I felt good. I felt like I was announcing like a spelling bee.
Okay. Yeah, and that felt good,
a
spelling bee.
Next week, I hope it's more Price is Right. Ooh. You know, like, come on down. Absolutely. Get the hype machine going. This is a $100 gift card to Fantasy Champs. And now we're getting towards playoffs. Call your shot. Go get your trophy right now.
Yeah, we'll give the owl and the judge an opportunity to see if he can top the spelling bee level.
Congratulations.
Of the Borgogin. Congrats.
If Kyle.
Yeah.
If Kyle botched your name, we apologize for him.
That's right.
Kyle. We have to do that a lot.
Yeah.
On to the news.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
The Ravens, Rashad Bateman, undergoing surgery for a Lisfranc injury. His season is over. DeSean Jackson, 52-year-old DeSean Jackson, will be active on Monday Night Football. And then we are in Limbo Town with Mark Andrews and Gus Edwards. Being a Ravens fantasy manager is a... I mean, even if you have Lamar,
that's not great.
You're not like thrilled about the outcomes here where DeMarcus Robinson is your number one target.
I mean, honestly, DeSean Jackson,
Duvernay.
Yeah. If DeSean Jackson has the juice left, this is a really good offense for him. And obviously they brought him along off the practice squad a little slower. He had to get back into football shape. He is available on dynasty waivers. So that it's a name worth picking up in your much deeper leagues to wait and see. Duvernay is a very fast, athletic wide receiver that, you know, is worth picking up as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, Mike, what do you think happens with Mr. Mark Andrews and Gus Edwards this week?
My guess would be that Mark Andrews will play and Gus Edwards will not.
But I noticed that's you've been doing the bye week juggle with the running backs, and I was looking at your roster this morning, and you have DeAndre Swift, which we have an update on him. He did return to practice, but he said he cannot promise he'll be at 100% this year. And I see Gus Edwards on your bench, and I don't know if you were sitting there going, like, I'm going to gamble on Monday night or I'm going to make other arrangements.
I have my one other arrangement, which is Caleb Huntley, because running backs, it's tough in the streets on the waiver wire.
That's a bad arrangement.
Well, it felt like an okay arrangement until they announced that Cordarrelle Patterson is in his window to return. So should Patterson return on Sunday, then it is just an atrocious backup plan. And
is that when you hit the streets again and you're looking around for...
Yes.
Okay.
That something will have to be done then.
Michael Thomas placed on IR. His season is over.
Yeah. Might make it back this year. It's not to say that it's a season.
That's
right. He's got surgery.
Over.
That's right. Yeah. He's done.
He always
toast.
I liked it.
No, he didn't like it.
No.
He says he always bounces back, though.
Does he, though?
I mean, given the timeline, we all bounce back, right?
Not on a long enough timeline, Mike.
That's true. The final bounce gets everybody.
the final bounce.
He did not bounce back.
Oh, I mean, he had... It's been a while, man. Michael Thomas, you got to go back to 2019. He turns 30 in March.
This is curtains, right?
I think it's mostly curtains. I mean, he could transition into a late career Jarvis Landry fantasy value, but that's his ceiling at this point. Chris Olave is the song, the dance. He's everything in New Orleans moving forward. This is curtains. I like that expression. Austin Eckler added to the injury report with an abdomen injury. Got in a limited practice. We don't know more than that, right? I mean, Brooksy, have you heard anything about Mr. Eckler that you can, anything good you can tell Jason, who just sighed with the sigh of a broken man?
We'll be watching for more.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
The whisperings were that it was not a big deal. Just something. Yeah. So, like, just a little tweak ski in practice, so they have to put it on the report, but he'll be fine. That's
Austin Eckler.
We'll see.
Austin Eckler
is the running back one, right?
Yes, yeah. He is the running back one right now, and I will say this in his favor, which is he played through a lot of injuries last year. He was missing practices, and he is a tough guy that will absolutely play injured and play well injured. That being said, to say something against his favor is, This is a Thursday crop up on the injury report. It would feel so much better. Like
if it was a Wednesday rest day.
My two running backs right now, which are a great combo to have, are Austin Eckler and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry
missed practice Thursday.
Missed Wednesday and Thursday, but that's
it's
almost
just a good rest, man.
It's almost better when you start on Wednesday and you could say that this could be rest. If you practice on Wednesday and then you crop up with an injury on Thursday, that is a new injury.
It has to be for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. Josh Palmer, even though he's cleared concussion protocol, Coach Brandon Staley said he's not willing to say that he will absolutely be available on
What is happening?
What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing here? What is happening?
He's practicing in full. He's cleared the protocol. You desperately need him. Maybe play the guy. This is not coming.
Is he your start of the week? I mean,
he's my start of the week. He's also my replacement for losing Mike Williams that I picked up to play alongside Austin Eckler and Derrick Henry. I am really having a go this week.
It's confusing because we don't know what's going on. With the information we have is they said he's out. He's out of the protocol. He's practicing.
Maybe the coach is a little too afraid to venture into guarantees around concussions.
Maybe.
Keenan Allen didn't practice. He's not going to play.
No.
Donald Parham, and it added to the injury report with a hamstring injury. Gerald Everett is, it's like the, he's like, Will Smith in The House?
Yes.
Just looking around saying like, okay, no Palmer maybe, no Keenan, no Mike Williams. I mean, DeAndre Carter, a dart throw. Cooper Kupp returned to a limited practice. Jonathan Taylor didn't practice again due to the ankle injury. He looks extremely questionable for Sunday. Darren Waller, limited. We don't know when we're getting Waller back. I think when he's back, you just play him.
Most teams, yes.
If he comes back this week, Mike, or you have Gerald Everett on your roster, you'd probably go Everett.
I would go Everett, yeah.
Corey Davis ruled out.
This is really good news for Garrett Wilson.
For Denzel Mims?
For Denzel Mims. But Garrett Wilson looks like he's a very good play this week.
Corey Davis, I said, ruled out. Damian Harris did not practice Wednesday, Thursday due to illness, so he is very questionable. And then DeAndre Swift, not being 100%, Mike, you have DeAndre Swift. What are your thoughts on this report? Is this a way of saying, like when I read it, I heard – Jamal Williams will be really involved for the rest of the season, and it's going to be annoying.
Yeah, that's a good takeaway there. It's about adjusting your expectations when if you, like me, traded for DeAndre Swift back, you know, a couple weeks ago, gambling on the return from the injury, we might have a top 10 running back here, and we're just getting a slight discount because of the injury. Buying an injury dip always comes with high risk. And everything that's going on between the low usage on Sunday, the talk after not practicing immediately on Wednesday, limited on Thursday, he's probably like 50-50 to even play this weekend with everything swirling around him. And even if he does, you're going to get low usage yet again, probably just passing down work. So it is, which he can succeed in. He can still be a useful fantasy player, but you're not getting top 10. You're hoping you're getting a top 24.
Couple quick other updates. No Jonathan Taylor on Friday's practice either. He is a very, very doubtful at
this
point.
He's not playing.
And then the Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard not at practice after being limited the last 2 days, so he seems like he's going to miss. And Deontay Foreman will continue to
Get everything.
Get it all.
Yep.
All right, that was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Fantasy Forecast.
Foot Clan, just so you know that we know, injuries are the worst.
The worst. Mm-hmm.
They are, I mean, it's all outside of your control, just other than putting players in your lineups based on probabilities. It's all outside your control, but the injuries, they feel the worst of all because it can happen at any moment to any player at any time during practice, during the game.
Sitting in a chair.
You can.
Jason.
Yeah. I mean, you can have your entire season submarined, no fault of your own, simply by being the guy that had Hollywood Brown on his roster or, you know, one of these players that gets knocked out. And we feel it. We feel it too. And that's. Accepting that you don't control it all is a good step towards not having as many emotional issues during the season if you're a fantasy player. Because it happens to everybody.
It does.
Yesterday we covered the Chargers, Falcons, Dolphins, Bears, Panthers, Bengals, the Cat Bowl. Packers,
the undersized Cats.
Yeah, the
tiny little baby Panthers, apparently.
Mike thinks that they're like pocket-sized at this point.
I'm still thinking about this. Like, 150 pounds?
Yeah, and your mind's blown.
Yeah.
Most, I don't know if you knew this, most house cats are Black Panthers. Packers, Lions, Colts, Patriots, Bills, Jets. We also covered those games, so if you want to hear our breakdowns, click on yesterday's episode. Six games remaining, starting with the 6-1 Minnesota Vikings taking on the 4-4 Washington Commanders. I think this game is going to be pretty good. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Minnesota -3. The over-under is 43.5. Revenge game for Mr. Kirk. You like that, Cousins?
Could be. Does he have that in his heart to take revenge? I don't know.
I don't know either. He does. He gets pumped up. I mean, this guy gets, you saw it last week with one of his touchdown passes. Minnesota's won 5 in a row. They've only lost to the Eagles. Washington has won 3 in a row. And Carson Wentz is chilling on the sidelines. So, which is why they've won three in a row.
He's doing great work.
The over-under here, 43.5. DraftKings has the sportsbook line at Minnesota -3 on the road. Kirk Cousins, he's a quarterback 12 on the year right now, 4th in red zone attempts. You have seen the difference on this offense, having Mike Zimmer depart and, a brighter mind on the offensive side of the football. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, those players are locked and don't need a lot of discussion, but I would like your guys' thoughts on the startability of Cousins versus players like Justin Fields this week. Versus Tua, and then your thoughts on like Thielen and then Hockenson in his first week in Minnesota.
Hockenson in his first week in Minnesota is someone that I would be hesitant to play. You don't know, there's a lot more to learn as a tight end coming in. That being said, he's had a lot of practice in his career of new systems in the NFL. So this is, you know, he talked about that, the fact that it's just new terminology, but he's used to learning new systems. So if I could avoid him, I would. There's, you know, I would play Robert Tonyan over.
Would you play
Hockenson.
Evan Engram?
I would play Evan Engram over Hockenson, but I don't blame you if you don't want to roster two tight ends on a bipocalypse. You might not be able to, so you could throw him in. As far as Kirk Cousins goes, I think he's a really good streamer, but he's a low end quarterback one. I would not play him above Justin Fields, who's been on fire. He is my quarterback 12 right now. I'd play him above. Someone like Trevor Lawrence.
I think if things go right for him, it could be good. Washington, 27th right now in schedule adjusted. So they have given up some points. But Adam Thielen, Mike, you comfortable with Adam Thielen?
The problem for Thielen is, like last week he had a temporary knee injury. Not temper. Like
yeah, he went down for
a
minute.
He got hurt. He went down. It didn't look great. But
still had 7 targets.
But he did come back into the game, so that gives you some hope. But you know that he is limited. But since week 2, he's averaging nearly 8 targets a game. The Manders, 30th against wide receivers if you adjust for schedule. So I think that Adam Thielen is in as that flex type of a play who At any moment, you know that Thielen's good for a touchdown.
Currently, for what it's worth, now that we're getting through the year, he is the wide receiver 36 on the season.
That sounds about right. Yep.
And they have had their bye week. So no real top end performances from him, but he can certainly help you not lose a week.
Yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. On the other side, we're not going to get Jahan Dotson back. Terry McLaurin was my start of the week on yesterday's show because Taylor Heinicke loves throwing him the football.
Yep.
As a means of success in the offense, which it is. What do you do with the running backs?
It is a sketchy matchup. The Vikings are ninth, if you adjust for schedule. They're sixth over the past 6 weeks. So, like, to me, Brian Robinson, maybe you fall into the end zone. That's always the chance for Brian Robinson because that seems to be his role. But Antonio Gibson is interesting. He's gotten more receiving work lately. And one of the low-key injury, J.D. McKissic, go ahead and hit the drop, please. Thank you. Did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. If J.D. McKissic is not active, like the five-target floor for Antonio Gibson, that's the
okay,
five-target
that makes
floor
sense.
Seems like that's in play for Gibson.
Smile right now is so he's just so proud of himself.
I will say this, Mike. Like I was paying attention to snap counts for McKissic because when Robinson came back, like he was down at 16% against Green Bay. He went back up to 36% last week in the eternal deficit against Indianapolis. But
and then,
no, I mean it does lock in the floor for Gibson's passing work.
Yeah, this on the ground, it shouldn't be a good game for Gibson or Robinson. But you're hoping that Gibson, who has a receiving touchdown, I believe, in back-to-back games now, and that role is not going to Brian Robinson. And Gibson started last week.
Would you play
interesting.
Garrett Wilson or Antonio Gibson in a flex position?
This comes down to whether J.D. McKissic plays. If J.D. McKissic is out, I would play Antonio Gibson. I think he becomes a good asset because he will receive all of the receiving work out of the backfield. And that's just really valuable for fantasy. If J.D. McKissic plays and is active, that you know, then you're in a three-way timeshare against a good rush defense that I don't love. Then at that point, I'm questioning. I think I would rather have A.J. Dillon than Antonio Gibson.
The Las Vegas Raiders at 2-5 take on the 2-6 Jacksonville Jaguars. Confusing season for both of these teams. The DraftKings Sportsbook line: Las Vegas -1.5 on the road. The over/under is 48. They're very weird teams, both for fantasy and in reality. It feels like the aura around Jacksonville is that there is a positive momentum. The record is not reflective of that. They've been more competitive in games. They've given games away in the fourth quarter. They have more relevant fantasy players than they've had in the past. Mike, you made Christian Kirk your start of the week this week because, you know, those first... You know he can have a big week. He was the wide receiver 6 through the first 3 weeks of the year, but it's been a while. He's the wide receiver 42 since then.
Yeah, but still getting the targets, you know.
And the Raiders defense, so benevolent.
Yes, over the last 3 weeks, you know, chilling at about 24% of Jacksonville's targets, and the Raiders are just, they're bad across the board. So, you know, it is interesting to have a two-win team that, you nailed it, Andy. If they're weird. Like, are they good? Are they bad? I still don't know. The record indicates that they're bad, but I don't know that they're bad.
Which two-win team are you talking about here?
I'm talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Raiders are not good to me. But on the Jacksonville side, Lawrence is a very capable streamer this week. ETN has skyrocketed. Like, he's just an absolute monster who's getting all the volume, hitting a big run every week.
Travis Etienne is the running back what rest of the season?
Ooh.
6.
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely not top tier.
Who would you rather have,
but he's
Damian
a
Pierce
one.
Or Travis Etienne? I see them very similar.
Etienne.
Man, I would have to look at the schedule. That's how close those guys are to me.
Yeah, I guess they are pretty close.
But Kirk is in. Zay Jones, when 6 teams are on bye, Zay Jones can definitely fill in for you. And Evan Engram is a top 12 tight end who's been seeing more volume the last couple weeks.
Yeah, let's go ahead and read the comment that Kyle left for Evan Engram in the
sure.
dark.
Go ahead. What is it?
In a dark world with tons of uncertainty, Evan Engram might be the hero you need.
Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, Evan Engram is Evan Engram.
Yeah.
That's one of his best and worst qualities.
But the tight end, so over the last month, he's been the tight end 8, 20, 9, and 4. He was the tight end 4 against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I watched that game. He scored a touchdown. Still got in his mandatory 2 drops.
Oh, of course.
I mean, because that's just part of
his
character.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Josh Jacobs should bounce back this week. Jacksonville's defense 27th against running backs over the past 6 weeks. They're 27th against running backs. It's a nice matchup for Jacobs, and he's really the only piece that's had consistent, you know, chain-moving success on this offense. Devontae Adams back in practice, full strength. He should have a much better week as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not really starting. Like, Hunter Renfro has been ridiculously bad. He's not in play.
He's been so bad. He is not. I mean, the reality is Mac Collins is the wide receiver too. It's not Hunter Renfro for this team. He's kind of been worked out of being relevant for fantasy. So Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, great plays. Darren Waller, if he's active, you can play. Otherwise, I don't think I'm messing with any Raiders. And if you're saying Carr or Lawrence, I would rather have Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. All right, quick break. Back with the Cardinal game. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, and social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. All right, the 5-3 Seattle Seahawks go to Arizona to take on the 3-5 Arizona Cardinals. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Arizona -2. The over-under is 49.5.
A nice palindrome game.
Yes, nice. It is. Cardinals are 0-5 in their last 5 NFC West games. Good news, they play NFC West teams the next 3 weeks. This is a rematch from the snooze fest we got in week 6. We were expecting that to be a shootout. But Seattle's defense has stepped it up in recent weeks. Seattle won that game 19-9 on the back of Jason Myers.
On the foot of Jason Myers, but yes.
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
The kicking is actually pretty important to remember when you go back to that last game. The Cardinals kicker was injured. They did not have any confidence. So they had several drives in that game where they moved the ball on the Seahawks pretty well, and then they would get down, fourth down. They would go for it, get stuffed. That's how they ended up with only 9 points. That was pre-DeAndre Hopkins, and that was on the road. So it will be interesting to see if you can get what the hope was last time coming to fruition with some of these players actually healthy and back for the Cardinals. You also have a Cardinals defense that has been better than most people think that could be really bad this week depending on the health of Buda Baker. Buda Baker's been missing practice, unsure whether he's going to go, and he – as he goes, the Cardinals' defense goes.
And as someone who picked up the Cardinals to play at home in this game, That's a terrifying thing to hear. Because they've been scoring a lot of fantasy points, the Cardinals' defense. Sure. Just so you guys know, since Hopkins returned, his pace is 187 receptions for 2,200 yards.
Yeah, if you stashed Hopkins through the suspension, you are being rewarded.
He's been incredible and is a lock The Cardinals running back room has been very difficult to have confidence in right now.
What?
Even if James Conner returned to this game, that's which like, he's been limited in the last two practices.
The last 22 practices.
That's worst case scenario to me.
Is him coming back.
Is James, for fantasy purposes,
yeah, because you
of
don't,
course.
You don't want to play him, Eno, at all if he comes back.
The last 3 weeks, no Conner, Eno Benjamin, 17 opportunities per week. Daryl Williams will be on the IR. Keontae Ingram, if James Conner misses, it's going to be Eno and Keontae Ingram, which that will be Eno getting the bulk of the work. But if James Conner is actually back, it's a timeshare that I have no idea which way it can go, because I can spin the narrative to myself that, well, James Conner has missed so much time, limited practices. They might use Eno Benjamin as the primary guy, and then it's, well, James Conner's the guy with the money. He's the starter from the beginning of the year. He goes right back into his starting job, of course, because he's James Conner. So it's extremely difficult what to do here. It almost feels like if Conner is back,
You sit both,
which on a freaking week with six byes may not even be a possible for your team. So it's a disaster, and I don't really have actionable advice here, because I don't want to play either of them if Connor's out.
I think the actionable advice is, if you can bench them, assuming Connor is back. If you can't, it would be Connor first. You would play him ahead of Eno Benjamin for touchdown upside, and I would probably just bench Eno outright if Connor is back.
That Seattle defense, fifth best against wide receivers over the last 3 weeks. They held Kyler Murray to a very low score, but you hope Arizona can keep things going at home. Zach Ertz, my start of the week at the tight end position. Rondale Moore is in play. Like right now, you know, if you had Josh Palmer and he gets sat down, Rondale Moore is a nice pivot.
Sure.
If you had to decide between Rondale and Romeo Doubs, one of our biggest start sit questions on the website, who do you go with?
I would go with Doubs because of the matchup and the fact that he's used outside. Doubs against Detroit, I would expect more there. The Seattle Seahawks defense has been good, but that is not knocking. I think Doubs is an okay play this week. I think Rondale is an okay play this week. What we've seen from him is that he is now the clear-cut wide receiver two in two wide receiver sets. He's on the field. He's on the outside. When they moved to three last week, they moved him into the slot where he's much better. So the utilization of Rondale has given me confidence that he can be used. It's just not a great matchup, I don't think.
He's a little bit of the, we don't have running backs, so let's run through the air strategy for Arizona as well. On the Seattle side, Kenneth Walker is a roster lock. Is Geno Smith a streamable candidate for you? Has that come down to Buda Baker, or?
I think either way you can stream Geno Smith. He has been very good, through two more touchdowns last week. I mean, he's not one of those guys that's going to go out there and usually just win you a week. He's not going to go out and put up a Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen type of performance on the reg. You know, last week he wasn't a quarterback one, but he had a good, he had a good week. Two touchdowns, and you've got DK Metcalf getting healthier and Tyler Lockett getting healthier as they've been struggling over the last month with their own injuries.
Any other discussions on this game you guys want to get into?
The tight ends always do well against both of these teams. So, Andy, obviously, Zach Ertz is easy. The Fant-Disley decision is, like, I would not play them in redraft, but in, a DraftKings lineup, they are very, very affordable, and you could flip a coin as to which one of those guys you would like.
28 targets, I believe, on the season for Noah Fant. 22 for Will Disley. Disley has been the one that slides into the end zone, I think, more often.
If you want to use last week to help you break the tie, they both had two targets.
Well,
that breaks them right out of my lineup.
The tiebreaker for me was the fact that last time that these two teams played, you saw Fant with seven targets, six receptions for 45 yards.
The Rams are 3-4. And they are traveling to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 3-5. Surprising records for these two franchises. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Tampa -3. The over-under is 42.5.
One of these teams is done. Over. Season is over after this week. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, your chances.
I don't know if I'd bury the Rams, but I think I. But I don't know if I'd bury either in those divisions.
The divisions are.
That's the hard part.
The divisions are much. It's much kinder for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, if they go to 3-6, I guess their season isn't over. But I do think 3-5 for the Rams with the upgrades that the Niners have made.
Yeah,
that feels tough.
Yeah, to try to sneak a wild card out there or something. Neither team can run the football. I was looking at Leonard Fournette's numbers on the ground because we live for the dump truck Fournette.
Yeah, got to back it up.
But like I would be stashing Rashad White harder than ever right now. Leonard Fournette's yards per carry since week one, 2.7, 2.9, negative one, 4.3, 2.4, 2.7.
Negative one?
Yes.
That's impressive.
And I know it's offensive line related, but it's also like a massive drop. Like he's 1.1 yard lower than last year. Rashad White has more juice.
He does have more juice, but to speak to the offensive line, he's averaging 3 yards a carry. It's not like this offensive line is just not allowing them to run the ball, which is why the dump truck and the dump offs, that's where you're going to get fantasy value in the running game or from a running back is in the passing game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and Fournette did get into the end zone last week, which was helpful. The week before was his really bad week against Carolina. Neither team can run, so they throw the ball a ton. And it hasn't worked out the way that they've wanted it to. You know, it's easy to say, okay, the Rams can't rush the passer, so Brady will be fine. Well, he's faced some teams that can't rush the passer, and he's not been fine. So what are you doing with the quarterback position in this game? Like, are you finding like lower tier options to pivot off of Brady for?
I expect both of these defenses to be better than both of these offenses.
Okay.
And so if that happens, I am looking elsewhere. I would rather play Trevor Lawrence than Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady this week.
I have it just in a crazy coincidence on my main dynasty roster. I have Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, and Justin Fields. And as of right now, Justin Fields is starting for that roster.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's been really – it's difficult because you look at the weapons. You know, Julio's playing. He scored last week. Chris Godwin, he's playing. Mike Evans is out there. And it's hard to see those three weapons and say Brady doesn't get it done, but he hasn't gotten it done. So
the yardage has been there. It's just been when the field shrinks and they get into the red zone, he has not been able to punch in touchdowns.
Yeah, Chris Godwin with zero touchdowns. It's absurd.
That's
Is he
none.
Really a zero?
That's a goose.
I thought he had one. Wow.
No, none.
What a loser.
He dreams of being Michael Pittman with one touchdown.
But Tom Brady did wear a Chris Godwin shirt at the most recent press conference.
Okay.
Well, maybe he's just trying to pump his man's up.
Yeah, I mean, is this in lieu of a breakfast? Like, did Godwin say, hey, do you want to go to breakfast? And he's like, no, but I'll wear a shirt of you.
It's a new metric that the DFS boys are working on, the T-shirt narrative.
Okay.
So,
is this similar to the Vermont storyline?
Yes.
Kind of the intangibles?
To be fair.
Yeah, you can't quantify it. Just let it happen and accept it.
This is like the third time this year we've seen the quarterback wear the wide receiver jersey or T-shirt. It has worked out on the other weeks.
And the other reason it could work out is the talent of Godwin.
I mean, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah. Are you willing? Cooper Kupp, if he plays, you play him, and he's gonna play. But you look beyond Cooper Kupp in this game. On the Rams side, is this the least amount of Rams players you've ever wanted to play in a certain week?
I don't know how you could put a running back out there. You've got a team in the Buccaneers that is good against the run, and you've got a team in the Rams that is so bad at running the ball, and it's now a 22-back committee. You don't have any idea how many players are going to be involved.
You got the Brown Rivers.
You got the Brown Rivers, which is slightly worse than P. Rivers from a couple years ago. Darrell Henderson.
Maybe Kyrie.
Yeah, maybe Kyrie.
Did you just say Kyrie?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Maybe Kyron Williams.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, not that guy.
Cam Akers is
available
to come back
at running back right now.
Because he's not playing his sport.
Wow.
So yeah, you're off the running backs here. I mean, I think
Allen Robinson is tied with Metcalf for the most amount of end zone targets. How about a shot?
Yeah, I think Allen Robinson is
a
flex option this week. And obviously, if Cooper Kupp is gone, they are going to be throwing the ball around. And I think Allen Robinson probably needs to be started if Kupp is out. And maybe you take a DFS dart throw on a Van Jefferson if Kupp is gone.
I tried to send Mike the Fantasy Hitman the D.
Yes, you tried.
Greg Dulcich. I tried to send him
blocked.
Greg Dulcich, and he said, because like Higbee's had two really rotten weeks,
yes,
under three fantasy points. And Mike said, nay, I shall not. I love the Higbee.
Yeah, I still believe in him. Last week, you had the injury right at the beginning of the game that looked bad, but he came back in. But here are the behind-the-scenes metrics. Tyler Higbee ran 15 routes and was targeted 6 times. That's a 40% target per route run. So that he is, when he's on the field, he is still involved. That if you're just looking at the fantasy finish the last 2 weeks, I can see people wanting to bail out, but I still believe that Higbee is a big part of this offense, and he was very close. Some called it a drop. I thought it looked like a bad throw, but should that connection have happened, he would have had a 40 or 50 yard touchdown.
One of the attributes of our player profiles on the website is the consistency score. He's sitting at 41.2. which is a C grade in consistency. That is the percentage of games exceeding 8 points, which is the kind of playability line that we set for tight ends. You can see those consistency scores on all the player profiles for everybody on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. The Tennessee Titans are 5-2, and they get the privilege of heading to Arrowhead and take on the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 5-2. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Kansas City.
What?
-12.5.
Dad, come on.
It makes perfect sense.
Wait.
This is quarterback related.
Is it? Okay, it's quarterback related.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot Tannehill.
Yeah, this
still
is this
of...
is about Tannehill probably not playing.
Okay. Yes. That, okay.
I just was worried that
makes
the line
sense.
Might have moved.
No,
with
it didn't
the Henry
move
stuff.
Due to Derrick Henry.
No. Okay, good.
The over-under is 45, but that does give Tennessee only 16 points, which, you know, that Malik Willis, you can win a ball game when you hand it to Henry against Houston and let him run for his 200. But it's going to be a lot harder to do that against the Kansas City Chiefs for multiple reasons. I mean, for one, you're going to give up a lot more points. I mean, the implied point total to Kansas City is 28.8 at home. The Tennessee Titans defense is not going to be able to contain Kansas City. So Malik is going to have to try to throw the football. And that's where things are going to go sideways.
Malik Willis started the entire game last week, and he did not throw for 100 passing yards. He did not throw for 90 passing yards. He did not throw for 80 passing yards or 70 or
can
even 60.
Can I get a 60? Wait, can I get a 50?
You can get a 50. You can get a 50. That's such good news that he was so good that he threw for
55!
10 attempts for 55 yards.
Yeah, but at least he's mobile and can run and got 12 yards on the ground. But, I mean, the truth is you didn't need it.
No, you didn't.
You had Derrick Henry.
Getting 10 yards a freaking carry. Man.
Breaking his foot.
Now,
giving him the ball too much.
Tennessee's beaten them the last 2 times in the regular season.
That's why I was so shocked about the 12.5, yeah, but I forgot about the Tannehill situation.
We don't know. I mean, Tannehill didn't practice on Thursday. It's not a guarantee he doesn't play. I'm sure he wants to play in this ball game. It's a primetime game. It's an important game. They're 2 5-win teams, but right now it looks like a boat race for the Chiefs because I don't think Malik Willis can keep up throwing. Part of it's the weapons, right? You don't have the kinds of weapons in the offense, pass catching wise, that can really help Malik Willis be great. Treylon Burks with the body size to be able to go up and save him from an errant throw. You've got Robert Woods.
If Malik Willis plays, I don't think they're going to throw the ball much. I really don't. Even if they're down, I think you're going to see what, you know, the Texans and the Falcons have been doing, which is just our best way to score on the Chiefs and keep up with them is another 30 carries for Derrick Henry. So
yeah,
hopefully
shorten the ball game.
Hopefully that's why the Wednesday and Thursday rest is happening for this later game in the week, is to get such a big workload that Derrick Henry already received last week, get him some rest for another monstrous workload against a team that I do not think can stop. I mean, they're not as bad as the Texans' run defense, but they are they're not far off. They do not have a very good run defense.
Hashtag only Henry is what we're saying for the Tennessee side of the football. On the Chiefs side, Jason, you are the highest right now on Isaiah Pacheco this week against Tennessee. You have him at RB19. You know, it's exciting to have a young and bursty running back compared to what they've
had.
He's
got the
juice. So, some upside here for Pacheco?
Yeah, the reason, the Titans' run defense is very good, and so the matchup might not appear that perfect for Pacheco, but coming out of the bye, I am very excited to see what Andy Reid can do with Pacheco. I want to give him a boost of, or fantasy managers a boost of confidence that Pacheco is, to me, still well ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon this week if I have to start one of those three players.
What do you do with the Kadarius Toney situation? You sneak him into your lineup hoping that they find ways to use him in this game, or is this more of a wait and see?
I mean, what kind of glory do you want? The glory play is calling your shot on Kadarius Toney. They'll have some packages for him. The nice thing is they traded for him on a bye week where they can involve him a little bit more. It's not quite the same as when a running back shows up on an airplane the day before a game, you know, when Christian McCaffrey was doing that and got 8 carries. I think he'll be involved enough to take a shot. You know, again, coming off the bye with Andy Reid, I'm just excited to see what he can come up with these weapons. You know that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to score a lot of points. The problem is you just don't know where they're coming from outside of Kelsey.
Yeah, my new tight end.
Shut up.
No, this is a big announcement for the Foot Clan because it played a big part. We've been in this situation with Kyle Pitts. If I bench him, he's great.
Right.
And so people have been saying, hey, will you bench him for me? Will you bench him for me? I said, yeah, I'll trade him away. I'll just trade him away. I'll get you great Kyle Pitts rest of season.
You are a benevolent podcast man.
I traded him away for you.
Thank you.
So,
what a giver.
Foot Clan, prepare yourself because all of the hopes and dreams for Kyle Pitts about to just completely happen.
That's
superstar Marcus Mariota, high pass attempts. Here we go.
Does that mean bad news for Travis Kelce, the Reaper?
No, I don't think I'm going to be able to handle injuring Kelce. He's okay. A Greek god.
Okay, good.
All right, play Patrick Mahomes. Monday Night Football, Baltimore 5-3, New Orleans 3-5. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Baltimore minus just 2.5. The over-under is 48. I think some concerns about the weapons for Lamar Jackson, the availability of Mark Andrews are weighing into that line because and the game's in New Orleans, but I don't know, 2.5? That's a pretty close game.
Here's the thing, Lamar. Mr.
Yeah,
Lamar,
if you want to speak to him, that's fine.
This is what I need to share. The last couple weeks, we've seen you in the pocket holding the ball in that area much longer than you usually do. Run. Just run. If you're without Andrews, you got no one on this field. You do not trust anyone. They're all spies. Keep the ball away from them and rush for 100-plus yards. Maybe throw a couple touchdowns here or there. But mostly, run.
And those could come to Isaiah Likely stepping in for Mark Andrews. The real interesting situation, not one that I know the answer to, is if Andrews is active, how much do they take off of his plate? Is he a 100% snap guy?
Decoy.
Does Isaiah Likely go out and help him in his return?
And the Baltimore Ravens do have the bye week next week. So is this one of those situations where the Ravens say, hey, we think we can manage this game without Andrews. Let's let him get two weeks of rest.
I think if you are in a situation where you're panicking and you have a bad option at tight end, but you have Isaiah Likely and you're wanting clarity and you might not get it, I think you can still play him. Like, I think you can just play Isaiah Likely at your tight end position. Rashad Bateman.
You're saying even if Mark Andrews plays.
I am. And I think you will be okay there. I think Isaiah Likely will be part of the game plan. Rashad Bateman is gone. Isaiah Likely is one of their best mismatches. DeMarcus Robinson cannot be the central, you know, pass catching option. Like, Isaiah Likely is going to be involved. They run two tight ends out there, even if Andrews is back. So I just want to give you some, like, I would take my shot on him. I would.
Over What, though? I mean, I understand.
No further questions.
Okay.
No. Give me some names. I mean,
okay. Would you play Dawson Knox or Isaiah Likely?
I would be willing to give Isaiah Likely the shot there.
What if you had T.J. Hockenson, who they just traded?
Isaiah Likely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the hero that we're all needing right now, Evan Engram?
I have a contractual obligation.
Yeah, that's true.
To
okay. What
not,
if? What if I?
Robert Tonyan.
Well, no. What if his name was Shmevin Schmangram?
Good question.
Shmevin, I would start.
Okay. Just Shmevin. Just check.
Shmevin is in there. Isaiah Likely did have a pretty good week two, where he had 5 targets. He could be out there for 50% of the snaps. They're going to have to rebuild the offense and use their advantages that they have, and he's one of them. Duvernay isn't a traditional outside wide receiver in any respect. So,
he's very fast.
I'm just saying, for the Lamar Jackson truthers, you want more Likely out there.
Yes, I agree.
Especially around the red zone. Gus Edwards, what do you do? Kenyon Drake, do you play him?
Yeah. Gus Edwards, I would be surprised if he starts at all. If Gus Edwards is out, then I think Kenyon Drake is a startable asset. He's going to get enough work. They are favored to win, and so you can take a shot on Kenyon Drake during the bi-pocalypse. If Gus is active, I don't play any of them. I worry about re-aggravation for Gus Edwards, and I certainly don't start Kenyon Drake if he's not the dude there.
I mean, again, with the bye week, it would be pretty surprising to me if Gus plays.
The bye week coming up?
Yeah.
Yep. 5 touchdowns over the last 5 games for Lamar Jackson. 5 total.
Yeah, let's get some more.
Not each. Not each game.
Because the running backs keep stealing them. Stop that.
I do think that DeMarcus Robinson is an emergency start for your roster.
Sure.
DeMarcus or Khalif Raymond?
DeMarcus.
Yeah, DeMarcus.
And then if you were putting Duvernay out there, Darnell Mooney or Devin Duvernay?
Ooh. I think Duvernay's upside is higher. But just because of like the more likely to get a big touchdown, or you know, like a 30 plus would be Duvernay to me.
Okay. Alvin Kamara, please play him.
Yep.
Chris Olave.
Yep.
Please play him.
Yep.
Michael Thomas now on IR. Jarvis Landry probably not going to play. And Andy Dalton is the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, which is why we're talking about the 3-5 New Orleans Saints. They have some quarterback shuffling that they've been doing.
Yeah, I would not play Andy Dalton in this matchup. Taysom Hill is obviously the same as he is every single week, a very low floor, very high ceiling tight end start that is worthy of being in lineups.
Couple injury updates. Alan Lazard now moved to a game time decision.
Yeah, what? What? The guy, I thought he was practicing.
This is, from what I understand, they did this for you.
They did. And this is not great.
They called up the Cardinals, said, what are you doing with James Conner over there? Has he been practicing for weeks? Yeah.
We can do that?
Yeah, we could just not play him. Game time decision. Okay.
Damian Harris is not practicing.
Yeah, he's still sick. Ramondre is going to be great again.
Yeah. Yeah. Ramondre and Deontay Foreman for one of our, you know, teams in our league of record that just has a magical touch.
Yep.
Russell Gage, ruled out.
Yep. So Lazard, thankfully, Lazard is the morning games, or the early games, I should say. So you'll know if he's out there. Depends on what your other options are if you want to pivot away. But Lazard is in such a good spot this week.
It's time for the face-off.
Fantasy Face-Off, presented by DraftKings.
Really enjoyed Mike in the robber outfit. Busted last week.
I enjoyed it not as much as you.
And I'm on a hot streak now. I have not been shamed for 2 weeks. That's a hot streak, by the way. Fortunately, Jason is our Wheel of Shame winner.
Yes, I won.
Yeah, big winner.
Big winner for the second time this year. I am the winner of costumes. So,
you ready to spin it?
Give me that wheel.
Wheel of Shame.
It'll give me the spin.
The wheel is spinning. We have a rainy day.
Geezer.
Oompa Loompa.
What is this? Okay.
And caveman. The
caveman is coming through.
Is this, right. Does he just have to dress up like Hagrid again? Or?
Let's find out.
Yeah, because he loves beards.
Oh, yeah.
So the beard is going on.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's
a tight fit there.
It's a really tight fit.
Oh my goodness.
Way to take one for the team.
What is this thing made for, a baby? Is this a baby costume? Where does this go?
Right there is good. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This thing is so tight.
Okay, so now the wig is being the wig is being put on. Excellent work. Oh man. And there's your
This is okay, this is awful. I mean, it looks great, but I can't even move my lips. This thing is so tight. I'm gonna die.
You ready to break out your lineup for this week?
Oh yeah.
I have a lot of analysis on my lineup this week, Jay. I'm sorry. About 15 minutes per player.
Well, let's talk quarterbacks.
I think I found the mouth hole. It is very tight, but I can speak through it.
Yeah,
now.
You sound great.
Good work.
You sound great. Give us your caveman quarterback.
My caveman quarterback is Justin Fields at 5,300, so that I can afford to put some other good players in my lineup. I wonder if there is crossover here.
Yes, I have Justin Fields.
Oh, wow, I do too.
Yep.
Wow.
It's 5,300 in this matchup against the Miami Dolphins.
So that just knocks the quarterback right off the face-off.
Yep.
Yep, doesn't matter if Justin Fields
could. He's so
cheap.
Yep.
Yeah, I imagine he's the most rostered cash quarterback this week.
Well, then let's turn to your caveman running backs.
Well, this is where I spent up for my savings. I have Austin Eckler
with his abdomen injury,
yes, and Travis Etienne.
Ooh.
Travis Etienne, $6,300. So I feel like he is mispriced.
All right, I have Austin Eckler at $8,800, but I went with Aaron Jones against Detroit at $7,400.
74?
Oh, he's pretty expensive.
You spent up.
Wow. So how much is Eckler?
$8,800.
Yeah, that's
he was
a
by
lot.
Far oh the highest price.
Goodness. Okay, that'll be interesting. I also have Travis Etienne at $6,300.
Well, that frightens me.
I don't know what you guys are doing. Kenneth Walker is still $6,200. K Dubs, get him in there. He's going to torch the Arizona Cardinals. Ken Walker is an unstoppable force right now.
He should be in our lineups. Is he your flex, Andy?
He's not.
He's not mine either.
Tremendous.
Whoops.
How about those wide receivers?
I also spent up here a little bit. This is, I really love my first two. Tyreek Hill, he's just been
You got Hill in.
Unstoppable. He's 8,500, but I just want all of the
jammed him in there.
Full PPR. And Amon-Ra St. Brown sitting at 6,600 in a good matchup. And then my last wide receiver here at 5,100 is Josh Palmer.
Uh-oh.
Who's
your pivot?
My pivot will be Garrett Wilson.
Okay. All right. I went with the counterpart to Tyreek Hill. I have Jalen Waddle back in there. He treated me so nicely last week, and he was cheaper.
Much cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, $7,400 for Jalen Waddle. And Jalen Waddle has cleared the, 67.5 receiving line mark in every game with Tua.
How's the bone comb working out over there?
The bone comb is real good.
My other wide receivers, I went with DeAndre Hopkins at 7,900.
Who was your you and
Jalen Waddle and DeAndre Hopkins. And then my third, I spent way, way down, Khalif Raymond at 4,000.
So I have DeAndre Hopkins at 7,900. His on DraftKings Sportsbook, he's sitting at 6.5 receptions, but he's seen 14 and 13 targets
in
his two games. Like, 7,900 is probably still underpriced for what Hopkins can do. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, no Hawkinson. That price is still very good. And we have I may have to pivot here because I didn't realize he was going to be a game time decision. But I have Alan Lazard, who's sitting at 6,000. I thought practicing meant he would play.
Okay. Jason, let's finish it up with your tight end flex and defense.
Well, these are real cheap. I mean, I got a lot of good players elsewhere. My tight end is Noah Fant against the Arizona Cardinals.
Noah, fantastic.
He is only 2,900. Went back and forth whether him or Disley. We'll see if I chose poorly or not. Zay Jones at 4,100 against the Raiders.
Always.
and the Carolina Panthers hoping to get some sacks on Joe Burrow at 2,300.
Okay. I went with Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst is my tight end at 3,600. I went with a Shmevin Schmingram as my flex.
You went with Shmevin Schmingram?
It's 3,300. He was better than the wideouts at that price point.
Wow.
And I spent way up with Eckler, Jones, Hopkins, and Waddle. And I went with the Panthers because I had to. I had no choice.
I was out of money.
So the other thing that will blow up my rosters, I have Josh Palmer as well at 5,100. So two characters here in my cast that
you love them game time decisions.
Apparently. I still believe in Tyler Higbee at 3,700. If you have a limited Cooper Kupp, that could be even more targets for Higbee. And then I went with the Colts against the Patriots. Ramondre is a scary man.
What's the price on that?
They're 2,700.
Okay,
but
so you have to spend a little more.
But Mac Jones hasn't looked very good, and the Colts defense,
Shaq Leonard is back,
is actually pretty stout.
All right, that was Fantasy Faceoff presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use the promo code BALLERS to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That is the code BALLERS. Ballers. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. How do you feel about that, Jason?
Oh, me happy.
Good, good. Well, we'll shut this thing down. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the podcast. Thank you to the producers for everything you do, you beautiful people over there. And enjoy the weekend.
See you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.